Before we get into this episode today, I would absolutely love it if you could take a second to rate and follow this podcast. It is probably not something that you've ever thought about at all. In fact, neither did I until somebody told me recently that the more you like and follow, the more eyeballs and ears we get on the podcast, leading to more incredible guests that we get to interview for you to listen to. So if you have 2 seconds today, please do this mama a favor and rate Mother Tongue and follow us on whatever platform you find your podcasts. And welcome back to Mother Tongue, your extra set of eyes, ears, and finger on the pulse for all parents around the world. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Sarah. We are your co-hosts. We catch up weekly, chatting with experts, people of interest, and mamas from around the world to discuss everything relating to parenthood.
Listen in to hear more on navigating mamahood, the products we swear by, and the experiences we've been through during pregnancy, motherhood, work, and beyond.
Let's get going, shall we?
So I'm about to embark on my child-free holiday tomorrow.
Another holiday. Yeah. Your husband's birthday has the most longest drawn-out celebrations ever.
I know. I think we were on week 6.
It's insane. You've had surprise parties while he was at golf. You've had pool days. You've had Heston's. You've had brunch. And now a holiday child-free.
I know.
I mean, you're just racking this up. So in many years to come, when it's your 40th,
literally.
You're like, remember all those things I did for yours?
Literally. Yeah. Literally. I've kept it. I've written it all down and I'm going to hold it against them until the day I'm 40, and then I'm going to expect better.
Same. I did that. I got Sam a really nice watch, a boat and a boat party and a trip to Thailand.
Well, there you go.
So
there you go.
I've banked that.
Do you think Sam's going to return the favor?
He will, 100%. He doesn't have a choice.
I hope so.
Unless he wants to
get divorced. How far have you got till 40?
I've got 3 more birthdays.
Have you?
Yeah.
No, you have not.
Do.
You look way younger than that.
Thanks.
3 more birthdays. Actually, that's not many more birthdays than me. I've only got 5 more birthdays, I think. Is 40 going to be your third birth?
The third birthday.
So you've got 2 more.
So I've got 1 this year.
So how old are you?
2 more.
37.
Years. Yes, I'll be 38 this year.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My God. Time is going fast.
Too fast.
It's actually quite terrifying. I'll tell you who I was speaking to. I was talking to our dear old friend, Charlotte Bruce Alexander, the other day. She's locked in for a potty, by the way.
Oh,
she's coming back. She's coming back on Mother Tongue after chasing her for the best part of 2 years. And we were saying, can't believe the babies are 2. So Loxie's 2, 3 days after Isla. We had them 3 days apart. And yeah, just can't believe it. I can't believe that they're 2. I can't believe Bodie's going to be 4.
Bodie's going to be 4 on Monday. How do I have a 4-year-old?
It's going to be Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Birthday party Sunday.
Are you going to be one of those mums who sends him into school with cupcakes or a cookie?
No.
Oh my God, please, Sarah, go all like bakey on me on Sunday. Bake loads of biscuits. Send them in, please.
Nope. Coordinating multiple children trashing my house for his birthday party Sunday's enough.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I just...
And he's got a giant Paw Patrol cake.
Sweet.
So maybe I'll just cut some of that up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that is a very, very, very good idea.
How many kids are in their class?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I've got lost with school comms. In fact, was it this time last week we were talking about school comms on the podcast and you said that someone had come forward as the class rep to send information? Is that person you?
No.
Are you shocked? Because I've seen quite a lot of condensed messages from you recently and I've been thinking, oh God, Sarah's the new class rep.
I am not.
Are you sure?
If I see something, I'm like, I'll just ping it in the group to be helpful.
I should give you a sash and maybe a badge
and a parking space. Today was everyone had to wear blue just to keep you on your toes.
Did you remember that?
Of course I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually quite like those days. It means you don't have to wash the school uniform quite as quickly, which I think is quite good. My school uniform is on its last legs and Rafa has started to say that his shoes feel small. And I'm literally like, can you not just last another 2 months, please?
I just got two new tops.
No,
cost a fortune.
Also, trashed.
By the way, why do they wear white?
No, I know. Don't. We can't talk about that. But also, apparently, the school fees have gone up.
Refuse to pay.
Have you heard this?
No.
I saw on someone's stories today, Helly, whose kids go to our school, that the school fees have gone up.
But surely if they're already in, they just should keep the rate the same.
I mean, surely. I'm like, please, I think they went up last year, didn't they? Did they go up every year?
Hope not. I think they do get more expensive as they get older.
Yeah, but do they go up like collectively?
I thought it was like once they're in, that's the rate that you've been communicated for each year.
God, I fucking hope so. Me because too. I'm not sure I can deal with the school fee increase. No. I just wish Helly would respond to my message when I went, oh my God, what? What is the increase? She hasn't responded. It's been like 4 hours.
You think they would have sent out an email because they love an email?
They do, just not when it's communicating, we're going to take more money off you.
Fun.
Sad times.
So you're going on holiday
I'm going on holiday twice this month.
And just in-laws
are... Just going to throw that out there. Stop staring at me.
The kids.
Yeah, they are. They are. It's going to be great.
How many days?
4 nights. Mm. And actually, it's... Do you know what? I think it's the perfect amount of time. I do feel guilty. I feel like I've also not spent that much time with them over the last 48 hours. I've basically been just out of the house. But... I also think 4 nights is just the perfect amount of time because by the time you like really miss them, it's time to come home.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's great. And also the fact that my in-laws are here is even better because...
Are they going to drive your car?
Yeah. They're going to do pick up and drop off. So you haven't had to have the phone call of me going, Sarah, how do you feel about taking Radford to school every day? So there we go. Count your lucky stars.
Thanks.
Yeah. Are you going to put Bodie in school on Monday?
Why wouldn't I?
For his birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to do something fun in the afternoon?
Well, it's double birthday, isn't it? Daddy and Bodie's birthday.
Oh, shit. Yeah. What are you doing for Yabby?
Nothing. He gets the ones that end in a zero. So that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So we're done with Sam.
Basically, Bodie's birthday on Sunday is at mine for a few hours. Pool, bouncy castle, job done. Most of the mums are on a hen do. So Sam's basically got all his mates round while our kids... play with each other.
Oh, fucking
so
great.
So they can have some beers. Done.
Yeah, absolute dream. Love it. And what have we got in store this week, Sarah?
We have a lovely lady talking to us all about motherhood.
And?
Mum hacks and tips on running your own socials, YouTube, lots of insights that we've taken from her.
I'm just typing, taking notes. Ignore that.
Frantically typing.
I am. You know when you get that like that behind and you're just like, oh, I'm so behind. No, but this week the episode is super exciting. And actually, she's a bit of a UK celeb, really, isn't she?
She is. And she seems to have her finger in lots of pies and they all are doing extremely well.
Did you know her before we had her on the poddy?
I wasn't sure. And then I looked and some of her hacks, I was like, I remember seeing these hacks.
I feel like her little book of mum hacks is just like signature key to any new mum life. So yeah, no, I'm very excited. It's a great episode, as they all are, guys, as they all are. If you enjoy this episode and this is the first time you're ever listening to Mother Tongue, I urge you, go back, listen to our past episodes. I promise you'll love them just as much as this one. So I think, Sarah, without further ado,
let's get going, shall we?
All parents will know that any small parenting hacks you can get your hands on makes a big difference to your day-to-day life. Luckily, today's guest, a mum blogger and YouTuber, has recently published her book, The Little Book of Mum Hacks, perfect for adding some new tips and tricks to your arsenal. From building her first business, Dolly Bobo, to the empire she has today, there are no limits to what this super mum can achieve in the social space. We are so incredibly excited to welcome Kate Manane to Mother Tongue. Kate, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, no, thanks so much for coming on. It feels like a little slice of home speaking to you today in the UK, all the way over here in Dubai. So it's nice. I was just saying offline that we're about to embark back for the first time in a very long time outside of summer. And I'm a bit scared of the weather, I'm not going to lie. I feel we'll be investing in some welly boots and some woolly coats. But enough about me and the weather. Can you please start by telling our lovely listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. Hi, everyone. My name's Kate. Yeah, I'm in the UK. Very rainy here, as anyone here might know. It's not great weather at the minute, nothing like Dubai, but we deal with it quite well. So yeah, I've been online for quite a long time now, doing social media and that kind of thing since about 2010. And I live in Kent with my husband and my three little boys.
I mean, and you've become really well known across social media for your mum hacks, which I really want to get into soon. But before we get into that, you have three kids. I want to talk a little bit about your experience being a mum and the juggle, because we talk about this so much at the moment. We both have two kids. Sarah is firmly two and done. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe I want that third. So I'm intrigued to see what life is like with three. Can you tell us a little bit more about your experience as mum?
Oh, that's such a good question. So I might put you off or help you decide to go for it then. Let's see how this goes. Yeah, so I've got three now. We had a little bit of a gap between our second and third. So there's about 4.5 years between our middle son and our youngest. Definitely is a juggle, I'll give you that. It's not easy going from two to three. I've definitely found that. But now our youngest is nearly 2.5. It's getting slightly easier. I always have found that once they can walk and they can start communicating with you a little bit more, yes, you get the terrible twos and a little bit of the tantrums, but I find it easier. As soon as they can start talking to you, it sort of calms me and I can understand what you want now and things chill out a bit. So it's lovely having the three of them. They've got such a good bond. I don't know if it's because they're all boys or what it is, but yeah, it's really lovely to see them all together. And actually having a bit of a gap has helped a lot, because the older two help us out a lot. It's so sweet. We've actually come down to our 9-year-old. He's made Finley, our youngest, breakfast and stuff a couple of times. Aww. If he's gone downstairs and we've not heard him, he wakes his brother up before us sometimes. Perfect. So yeah, it's like having a couple of little extra parents to him, I think. They must seem so big and grown up. Yeah, so it's lovely. It's not without its struggles, definitely. We're doing all right.
Do you find though, because this is the thing, I feel like when you have your first, you're then like, okay, I'm going to have my second. I'm just going to bosh them out and get it done. And it seems like quite a normal trend for people to go quite quickly for the first two. And then if people have a third or a fourth or a fifth or God forbid a sixth, they then start, you know, the gaps get a little bigger because you're not so much kind of in that race. And it is quite nice to have a little one when the others are a bit bigger. But then at the same time, do you not find that the older two are like, they want to go to an adventure park and on roller coasters? And I don't really know what a 9-year-old wants to do, but the 2-year-old will definitely still be into soft play. So I can imagine there's a bit of a juggle there. How do you manage that?
Yeah, that's definitely there's definitely pros and cons, but that's definitely one of the harder sides to it, I would say. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we were invited to a 1-year-old's birthday party, and they were all invited, which was lovely. It was luckily at quite a big soft play. So in the end, the older two were fine and they loved it. But that sort of thing can be difficult if you have to take them somewhere where it's a bit boring for them. Or like you say, if they want to go to a theme park, the little one can't do what the older two can do. Luckily, he's got a mum that is scared of roller coasters. So I'm happy to be like, I'll sit this one out. You guys go ahead. But yeah, it can definitely be a bit of a juggle with the different ages and them being into such different things. We've not found it too difficult so far. I think because he's just been so little, he just comes a lot. But I do think probably in the next couple of years when we've got like one that's going into the teenage years and a 4 or 5-year-old, that's where we'll see a real difference in what they want to do. So I might have to come back to you on that one. But yeah, it can be hard. Yeah, it's nice to have that, a bit of that age gap though, like you said. And the older two are a bit closer in age. So we've got a bit of experience of both.
Yeah, I think that's really similar to me actually as a child. So there's 7 years between me and my oldest brother. And he was off doing his own thing. From when I can remember, he was a teenager, he was out, you know, independent. But then when you grow up, it's so nice to have those big brothers there to look out for you. And they were very protective. And what you're saying there about your eldest sometimes will make breakfast for your youngest. That's really sweet. So what did you find was the hardest jump? Was it from 0 to 1, 1 to 2 or 2 to 3?
I've thought about this. Quite a few people have asked me this in the past. And I still stick by that it's always harder to go from 0 to 1 because it's a complete life change, isn't it? You never know what to expect before you become a mum. People can tell you, oh, you're never going to sleep again and all of the cliche things. But it really is. It changes your whole life for the better in most ways, but it's hard, especially in those first sort of 6 months to a year. So I do still think that's harder. But then I also did find it quite difficult with the jump between 2 to 3. Maybe not so much between 1 and 1 to 2, because we were still very much in the very early toddler years with my first when the second came along.
Yeah.
So we were so sort of in the nappy changing, naps and bedtimes and routines. There wasn't too much of a struggle going from one to two for us personally. But by the time we had Finley, we were out of nappies and our middle child had just started primary school. So we'd kind of got to that point of, oh, they're both in school in the September. And then in the November, we had a newborn baby. So we started the whole process all over again. So that was quite difficult. Yeah, I think I'd still stick to 0 to 1 is the hardest jump for me.
And then, I mean, with the three kids at home and a husband, obviously, because let's be honest, our husbands are like another child that we just add into the mix.
Yeah.
What does a typical day look like for you from like start to finish?
Both me and my husband work from home. So we kind of share a lot of the responsibilities. I do feel really lucky in that sense. He does a lot of the childcare. He does a lot of the cleaning. So we kind of work around each other's schedules. So a typical day will probably look like my husband will quite often take them to school so I can be sort of getting ready and working out what I need to be doing that day. And every day is completely different. Sometimes I'll like be in charge of childcare and I'll have Finley, so we'll do the normal routines of playing, going out somewhere, lunch, the typical kind of toddler daily life. And then other days I could be working the whole day and my husband's got him, so it could be getting some content for a brand job that I've got, or recording a YouTube video, or I've got an online jewelry and clothing business, so I could be taking photos for that and even packing orders. It's just so different all the time and quite full on, which I think I actually prefer it to be like that.
Yeah,
when I think about it, I like being busy, so every day is really different.
Yeah, it sounds really nice and varied in that you have a good balance there with your husband to share the load. So you were talking there about, you know, sometimes you've got collaborations, YouTube, etc. Can you tell us how you started this career and how you got into it?
Yeah, I actually feel like I always sound like the granny of YouTube, because I started doing this in about 2010.
Whoa.
Which seems like so long ago now. Yeah, it feels like the start of social media. I feel almost like a dinosaur. But I just started it after leaving college. I was 19. Didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, and I just kind of fell into it. I was trying to start a little business making jewelry, and at the same sort of time I was finding these American, I don't know if you remember, like makeup gurus, and that's all there really was at the time. And I was watching them and I thought, maybe I could start a little YouTube channel. I'm not a makeup guru, but I could talk about fashion and things that I like, and you know, mention a bit of the jewelry here and there. And it kind of took off, I think, because there weren't that many people doing it at the time, and there wasn't that many people in the UK doing it. It grew quite quickly, and it's just kind of carried on from there, really. So I feel super lucky that I got into it at such an early stage. And ever since, I've just tried to keep up with it, from YouTube to Instagram to TikTok. It moves so fast.
I mean, YouTube is a funny one, because so many people who are nailing YouTube are like, YouTube is where it's at. YouTube is where you need to be. They've got a really good incentive scheme. You know, there's lots of pros of working in the YouTube space, as it were, but it's also a particularly hard space to navigate and also kind of get a real foot in the door. So for any kind of aspiring YouTubers out there, like, what advice would you give them? What are the things that need to happen to make it big on YouTube?
I think it is super hard these days. And like I said, maybe I was lucky that I got into it at an early stage. But if it's something you're really passionate about, I think I'm still definitely seeing people start YouTube now and go, I think maybe now there's even more of a chance to grow really quickly because of the short form content that you can get on YouTube, like YouTube Shorts and other platforms as well. There's more places for people to find you and think, oh, I love her or I love him. I want to find out where they are and maybe follow them, their longer form content as well. So I would say just start. Don't be embarrassed. I know it can be really difficult to think like, oh, I don't want to put myself out there. My family will see that, or my friends, and it feels a bit cringy. But you have to go for it and not worry about what other people think of you for a start. And then you need to be as consistent as possible. I mean, I should take my own advice, because right now I'm probably not the most consistent on YouTube. But if you can try and have a schedule, upload as much as you can without it feeling like, oh, I don't know what content I should make. There's definitely quality over quantity. So even if it's once a week on a specific day, I think that's enough. Obviously more is great, but yeah, just keep consistent. Don't be embarrassed and talk about the things that you love, what your passions are, and then you'll find other people that have those passions as well. And that's, you know, if you talk about something you love, you can't really go far wrong.
This sounds like a really stupid question, but what are YouTube Shorts? I've never heard
what?
Of this.
You do know.
Oh.
No, I haven't. No, please tell me. Someone update me.
So I'd say they're basically like Instagram Reels or TikTok. So it's YouTube's version. So I try and if I make an Instagram Reel, I'll try and put it on TikTok and YouTube Shorts as well. So yeah, it's just kind of like their vertical video format. And for some people, it's become really successful and they've got like a million subscribers and they only do YouTube Shorts. So it's kind of crazy really how far it's come.
Wow, that's amazing. And I mean, I guess is YouTube the same as Instagram in the sense that there's an algorithm to follow or not really?
I think there is, but they all change their algorithms and what they want so much. It's so hard to keep up with it all that I do think all you can do is really make videos on YouTube specifically about things that you love.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, hope that you find your people, because if you're just trying to keep up with algorithms, it will never be authentic and it will never be like genuine and truly what you're passionate about. So I don't think you'll stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what about your advice to people when they're making content? Do you think you should just keep it quite raw and authentic? Do you think it's good to do some editing, add any, you know, subtitles, captions, anything you can to it? And also, what do you use in terms of like props, gadgets, things that people should consider getting to help if they are about to start on their YouTube journey?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think it depends what your content is. So if you want to be a vlogger and you want to film your daily life, I think that's nice to keep it as raw and natural as possible, really bring people in on your journey. And if you think, like I sometimes think, oh, this is so boring, why do people want to watch this? But actually, I quite enjoy watching just somebody living their life. And it people tell me it's like comfort content.
Yeah.
They just like that sort of following you around and being a bit nosy, really. It's nice to see what someone else is up to, I think. But also, if you're sitting doing a sit-down video, you might want to make it a little bit more professional. I mean, I don't know if you film this for videos or you just do it as sound, but my background is not too professional right now. But yeah, you can go for green screens if you want to, but I don't necessarily think you need to. You know, I think just a nice clean background. I film a lot on my Sony ZV, I don't even know the name of the camera now. Sony ZV something. It's a really good vlogging camera. I film a lot on my phone as well if I'm ever doing short form content. And I do have a big Canon DSLR 6D, but I rarely use it now. I don't use it too much. So I don't think you need loads to get started. Just if you've got something, you can improve your quality as you go along.
Yeah, that's so true. Do you know what? There was a couple of years ago where I decided I was going to become a travel photographer and I bought all the gear and I still don't really know how to use it. Those big cameras, the big DHLR, whatever they're called. What are they? I can't even remember. No, I feel like they're DSLRs. I don't know.
DSLR, yeah.
I mean, they're so hard to use. And then, you know, I decided maybe I'd buy a drone. Oh, I mean, that was short-lived. I should probably fish all this stuff out and try and flog it on eBay or something. But the editing process for me is something that I find, one, very time-consuming, and two, I'm very impatient. It's not something I'm very good at. Do you edit all your stuff yourself? Do you have support? You know, any advice to fellow YouTubers out there who are looking to get into the editing game?
Yeah, I mean, I edit everything myself. I'd love to have someone to edit for me. I've just never done that. And I think I'm probably a bit of a control freak. So I'm a bit like, no, I need to know what everything is. And I've done it myself. I'm not the best editor. I don't do too many fancy special effects or tricks, put in a few transitions, maybe, and an end screen and stuff. But yeah, I do it all myself. I use Final Cut Pro now, but again, unless you're really wanting to do color grading and get special effects, I think you can also use iMovie if you've got a Mac, iPad even, and keep it as simple as possible. It depends where you're starting from and how much knowledge I think you've got. I think it can scare people off a lot. Oh, I need a really professional camera and special editing software, but you really don't. I think you can achieve really good videos with just the simple things.
Yeah, and you know what? I think sometimes you worry so much about putting out absolutely perfect content and it looking beautiful. But all people really care about is the content. And if it's, you know, we could spend ages making a beautiful reel and spend so much time on it, and then we do a tip or a product in like a couple of minutes and it massively outperforms it because it's engaging content that people actually are interested in. So, I mean, what is your favorite content that you love to create?
Oh, my favorite content. Yeah, you're so right, actually. It is quite frustrating. A video that you've spent hours on can often do nowhere near as well as something that took you 5 minutes to film and 10 minutes to edit. Like, and you're like, ah, I wish I could find the formula for doing that over and over again, because that would be so much easier. I do love, always loved filming really like beautiful content. So I would love to get out there with the DSLR, film some really gorgeous content, like color grade it, spend ages on it. But to be honest, I don't think that's where people's attention is at the moment. So I think that quick, snappy content, stuff that's maybe funny, relatable, or even heartwarming, something you need something that's going to quickly capture people's attention these days, because people are just scrolling, they don't have the time. So I love filming funny stuff, actually, just something that's a bit lighthearted, maybe a relatable mum video that other mums could be like, oh, I do that too, or something with my husband that makes their partner laugh and they can send it on to them and be like, we do this. That kind of does well, and it makes me quite happy to see other people like reacting to that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, that's some of my favorite content now. I feel like that kind of trend came out of COVID and it's here to stay, and I really, really love it. Really love it. I'm all for it. And then, I mean, obviously we've just spoken a lot about the incredible social media platforms that you've created over the last couple of years, but you do so much more. So can you talk to us a little bit more about your other businesses and the other things that you do?
Oh my goodness. So I have a fashion and jewelry brand called Mure, which is something I've done since the start of my social media career, but it used to be called Dolly Bobo, which was the name of my YouTube channel. Over the years, it had a bit of a rebrand because I felt like I'd grown up and outgrown the name a little bit. So yeah, we're called Mure. We sell like really beautiful clothing, jewelry, hair accessories. So I love doing that. It's kind of like a passion project for me, and it does take up quite a lot of my time, but it's slowly growing and building, and I'm really excited to see where that goes. I also have started a little podcast with my friend Lucy. So kind of like you guys, we talk about mum stuff, funny people writing funny things that their kids have done, or that their partners, how their partners have annoyed them maybe. It's called Not Like a Regular Mum. So we're kind of just slowly getting into that and really enjoying doing the podcast at the minute. And then back in lockdown, I was really, really lucky to be able to write my first book, which was The Little Book of Mum Hacks, which was such a bucket list like tick, such a goal of mine to be able to publish a book. So that was super exciting as well. So yeah, I feel like I'm kind of a little bit everywhere, but it's been a really amazing journey, as they say, the cliche.
So tell us a little bit about the book. We'll come on to everything else because I've got so many questions, but the book, how did this come about? When did you decide I want to write a book about mum hacks? And tell us more about all these mum hacks that I definitely need in my life.
Well, I was super lucky in lockdown. I actually was approached to write the little book of mum hacks. So when the opportunity came up, I was like, wow, that would be incredible. What an opportunity that is. I'd been making YouTube hack videos and Instagram hacks for years, especially since having my first baby. So it felt like a really good direction to go in. So through lockdown, I wrote the book. It was during that very first part of lockdown where it was lovely. Well, you guys have lovely weather all the time, don't you? But we actually had nice weather in March here for once, and I remember it because it was so unusual. So we had the kids at home. It was a bit chaotic. Had two at the time, the youngest of which was a toddler. So it was difficult to write the book. I did it in any spare moment I could, in the evenings and stuff. But yeah, it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down, really.
Amazing. I mean, what an achievement.
I don't even know where I'd start with writing a book. I feel like I don't write anything anymore anyway. I'm guessing you actually don't write like this. You type.
Not often. I didn't write it all by hand.
No, I was just sitting there, I was like, oh God, it would just take such a long time. But no, of course you type it out. But yeah, I just don't think I'd have it in me. I mean, that's a big thing. It's a massive thing. And then where can people find this book if they want to buy it?
It's on Amazon, available in some good bookshops as well. I'm not sure where it would be out in Dubai, but yes, you can get it on Amazon. So I'm sure it's easy to find.
So tell us about some of these hacks. Give me some of your top hacks.
What do we need to know? What do we need to know?
For Marianne's third newborn.
Amazing, right? So when you're ready, yeah, you can use this hack. One of the first hacks in the book is called the vest hack, which is something I discovered when I had my first little boy. I had no idea. I'd never even changed a nappy before my first baby, my own first baby. So I was so new to it all. And it was on one particularly difficult night when I think he was having lots of poo explosions and probably being sick and stuff. I realized you could take their little vests off downwards because they have like this envelope opening. And so many people have said to me since, I didn't even realize I've been pulling it over their head all this time, even when they've had like poo explosions and been sick. So yeah, you can pull the vest down because they have like quite a wide neck opening, and then you can just kind of like get rid of that, and it causes so much less mess. It's one of my favorite mum hacks ever, I think.
I love it. It is good because there's nothing worse than trying to pull a pooey, sicky vest over their head. Ugh. And they need a bath.
No.
It's so disgusting. And what about any others? What are your favorite like newborn hacks? What else can we be sharing with mums out there?
Well, my favorite newborn hacks. Well, one thing I discovered, this was probably a few years after having him, is that, and this is great for you guys because you have so much sun, the sun bleaches might be something that people are like, yeah, of course. I didn't know this until I tried it myself. And especially those, I keep coming back to poo explosions, but in those early newborn days when their poo's like yellow and it stains their little vests and stuff, and their lovely white vests get stained, and no matter how much you wash them, if you wash them and then put them out in the sun, they'll be lovely and white again. This was like a revelation to me. I thought it was amazing. So definitely take advantage of the sun, put all of their lovely white sleep suits and vests and things out there, and they'll be as good as new again.
I love it.
We love this.
Do need to take more advantage of the sun. Okay. And then what about when it comes in the kitchen, feeding that extremely messy, fun time of day?
Oh yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it? One thing we did quite early on is put a little sticky hook on the back of their high chair so that we could keep all of their bibs and everything together right there. So because otherwise you're always looking around for a bib, aren't you, or something to quickly cover them up with. And sometimes,
always.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm just not organized. I've put their food down in front of them and then I'm like, oh, you haven't got your bib. So to have them all kind of organized on the back of the chair with easy access, that's also a really good little mum hack.
It is, because I always forget and then I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered. And then
my kids don't wear bibs anymore because I am that. I don't think my second child has ever worn a bib because I'm literally like, where is it? And then by the time I think to put the bib on, it's too late. She's already got food everywhere. And I'm a bit like, well, that's just that.
That's so true.
I either let her get covered or strip her off and let her get covered. Yeah.
What about any others? Because I feel like kitchen hacks, we can't get enough of kitchen hacks or feeding hacks, especially when you're trying to manage food time, then bath time, then bedtime alone with all the children. It is so full on.
So I have a little hack which we've actually found really good. Since the boys have been a bit older as well and they drink out of cups, we've put like a little magnet onto the back of the cup. And then once they've finished having their drink, we put it on the fridge so that they don't keep constantly getting out a new little plastic cup each time they want to drink. And we don't end up having like 20 cups at the end of the day to wash. They keep going back to their one all day, which has been really good.
I love this. That's such a good idea. Yeah.
I have so many water bottles by the end of the night and they've gone to bed and I'm just going around the house and there's so many everywhere.
Yeah. And my children genuinely, they just get a new one out every time. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, no, but I want this one now. I'm like, you don't. Stop it.
It's so annoying, isn't it?
It's so annoying. What about playroom? What about like play hacks, playroom organization hacks, playroom in general hacks? Because playrooms, again, my God, the stress.
Oh, they get so messy, don't they? I mean, I don't know if this one is playroom specific, but I honestly use this in so many rooms of the house now. So it actually would work really well. You know those over-the-door hangers that you usually put shoes in? They're plastic.
Yes.
We have those for everything. So we've got one inside our hallway cupboard and we use that for the morning, like the morning routine. So we've got like hair gel, brushes. We've even got like dog leads. We've got winter hats or summer sun cream, like whatever time of year it is. Everything is in those little pockets that we need for that morning. So we're not rushing around trying to find all of the little bits. And we've done this for years. And honestly, it has sped up the morning routine so much. And we also use this in other rooms. So like, if you want to put it in the playroom, you could put cars in one, you could put little figures in another, blocks in another. You can get ones in different shapes and sizes. So they don't all have to be shoe sized little compartments. You can get ones with actual boxes on the front now. So I love over the door storage because you can just hide it away. No one knows it's there, but everything stays really organized.
I love this.
Yeah, this is what we need. This is what we need. And one question that I know that everyone is going to want to know the answer to is travel. What about travel hacks? I mean, I travel with the kitchen sink the entire time. So how can I avoid traveling with the kitchen sink, please?
That's a tough one, isn't it? Especially when you've got really little ones, you feel like you need to take everything. And often you do, because that one thing you leave behind, you actually end up needing. You're like, oh, I wish I'd brought that with me. I mean, one thing I love in the car, we've got a boot caddy. So we keep that on the back of the boot. It just kind of, you can buy them on Amazon and stuff, and you just clip them to the back seats and it hangs in the back of the boot. Takes up no room really, but it means you can put extra nappies, wipes, changes of clothes, maybe even like some toys that you want to take out with you. That's all in the boot of the car. Oh, we also have a first aid kit, a blanket, just in case, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not usually super organized, but it's just, you just do it once and then it's in the car already and done. That's amazing. And also to have like I call them like busy bags. So if you're going to a restaurant, say, I mean, I have nothing against taking an iPad, you do you, like we have often done that. But if you don't want them to just be in front of the screen, you can fill up a little bag each for them. You can put in some crowns, a little notebook, or depending on their age, you could put in some fidget toys, cars, little mini plastic games, whatever you've got really, stuff that you've got lying around the house. And then when you get to the restaurant, you can just give them the bag and they've got stuff to keep them entertained while you're waiting for their food to arrive.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, we need this. We need this. Actually, I started doing that recently. I've pre-packed bags and I just leave them by the door. And then I just grab them every time we go out.
Yeah.
Because I don't get me wrong. We have an Amazon Fire tablet thing. Yeah. And they are great. And there is a time for them, especially on an aeroplane. But I try when possible, when we go out to eat together, especially to not bring the screens to the table if I can resist it. But sometimes when I want to wine in peace, it has to happen.
Exactly.
So time and place. What about favorite hacks that you use every day, that you use regularly in your life?
I would definitely say that the over the door one is probably my top used one that I use every single day without fail. Another one that isn't really a hack, but I mean, maybe it is because it does change everyone's moods. We like to put music on in the mornings. The morning routine can be so stressful for everyone, and it can feel really, as a mum, you feel guilty if you've sent them off to school and the last thing you did is just shout at them, which is often the case in the mornings, because you're like, get your shoes on, listen to me, stop watching the telly, turn off. So what we've tried to do is not have the tellies on, but we have music on, really light, upbeat, happy music, and it just gets everyone kind of a bit more in the mood, like pumped up. Even on a Monday morning, everyone feels a little bit happier, I think, because music will do that to you, won't it? So that's a little tip I've got. Just try and turn the TVs off, put the music on, get everyone in a good mood, and then hopefully you'll be able to get their attention a little bit easier as well, because they're not looking at the screen.
Yeah, I love music. Music does have the power to bring up any mood. I think that's a lovely hack. Tell us more about this podcast, because we always love to hear about new podcasts. I also want to hear more about the funny things that your husband say.
So we are really new to the podcasting world. We're actually only on episode 4, so we're just getting used to it now. I do it along with my lovely friend Lucy. She is also a social media content creator, so that's kind of how we met years ago. And it's called Not Like a Regular Mum. We wanted it to be like a fun wordplay on the Mean Girls, like, I'm not just a regular mum, I'm a cool mum. It's just a fun chat between friends, really, like a weekly catch up. We wanted it to be like, you can put it on whilst you're maybe cleaning or getting some work done, and it's like a catch up with your besties. So we talk about what we've been up to, and then our followers will write in what their kids have said or funny things that they've done. So we're really, really loving doing it so far. It's just fun, lighthearted, really, something easy to listen to. And we often moan about our husbands. Like, one thing we were talking about recently was the fact that they always moan at us for not loading the dishwasher right. So we're the ones in the house that load it wrong, and they get really mad at us because we can't stack it properly. And also the fact that anytime we get deliveries, so Amazon boxes or parcels arrive, we don't break the boxes down. We like, they stack, they pile up and up and up. We're like, that's a blue job. That's for you to do. You need to break those down and get them out of the house. So just funny things like that, really, and funny things that our kids have said and done. Yeah, it's been really, really good so far. We're loving doing it.
The dishwasher thing is so true. My dad is so anal about the dishwasher. Every time, like in my house, in his house, in any house, he's like, you're just not stacking it properly. You're not utilizing the space. I'm literally like, you do no housework, no nothing, nothing. Why are we so obsessed with stacking the dishwasher? Why do you think that is? Like, I genuinely, it blows my mind.
Well, at least you'll stack the dishwasher. I mean, I was going to say, at least yours stacks it and it's funny about it. Mine just drives me mad.
Do you know what? My father-in-law does this. I remember he came to stay recently, and we all finished our dinner, and everyone got up and took their plates over, and he just sat there with his plate in front of him waiting for someone to get it. And not in like a, someone should come and clear my plate. It's almost like he's just been this way his entire life. He didn't know any different. So finally I said, oh, Melvin, are you going to bring your plate over and put it in the dishwasher? Was like, okay. So he brought his plate over and then put it on top of the dishwasher. I was like, I'm not really sure what you're doing now. This, you know, do you not know where the dishwasher is? It's open. It's right in front of your eyes. Why are you not putting it in? And he was like, oh, okay. Almost like he didn't know how to. And I was like, this is bizarre behavior.
So funny.
But yeah, no, it's very weird, isn't it? The obsession with the dishwasher and my father is very real. And then what about your other business, your jewelry and fashion business? What is next for that?
So we recently launched a fashion side of the business. It was always a jewelry-based business, Mure, since I launched it in 2021. But I used to sell hair accessories and clothing on Dolly Bobo back in the day as well as jewellery. So we've launched the clothing side of things, which has been so exciting because fashion is probably the main thing I've always spoken about on my social media platforms, aside from having kids and mum life, as that kind of became part of my life as well. And also we've recently launched beautiful charm necklaces, which our customers can make themselves. So they can pick the charms they want, they can decide how many they want. And it's a real throwback to the jewellery that we used to do with Dolly Bobo. I feel like charms have definitely come back round in the cycle and everyone's loving wearing them again. So it's been so nostalgic to like revisit that as well.
Oh, I love that. Oh, well, I'm going to definitely check it out after this and we'll link it in the show notes for anyone who's asking. And then Kate, before we say goodbye to you today, can you just leave us with one tip and one product recommendation?
Oh, that's such a good question. Are we talking like newborn babies or toddlers or anything?
Anything you want. Like, what is your go? Like, if you were to rate one product or give us one tip, like, what would your go-to be?
Oh, right. I've got one, actually. I think my product would be, I think it's called the Dream Egg. We've had it for a while. It's a white noise machine. Is it Dream Egg? I'm sure it is. We got it on Amazon and it's just a little white noise machine, but we've used it ever since my 2-year-old was born and he absolutely loves it. He still sleeps with it on every night. Especially I found having older kids and also dogs, it just blocks out that extra noise because he goes to sleep before the older two. Yeah. So he can't sleep without that on, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing now, but definitely in the early days, white noise can be like magic and it can send babies to sleep instantly. It doesn't work on all of them, but 2 out of 3 of mine have loved it. But this one's great. You can plug it in so it charges it. You can have it running on power all the time, but you can also have it wireless as well. It has a little light in it, so it can be like a night light. It has different sounds. It has a timer. I mean, I could go on about it all day. It's just a white noise machine, but it's a really good one.
I love these. I have white noise machines in both my kids' rooms and I have white noise on every night.
Do you?
Every night on Alexa. I can't sleep without it. I love white noise. And My daughter's one sounds very similar. It's plugged in, it's got a nightlight, and you can have it so if she cries in the night, it turns itself back on and you can pick 15 minutes, 30 or an hour or constant. And I'm sure it really does help get her back to sleep.
Sure.
What a good feature. I like that.
And then what about our tip?
A tip. To all those expectant mums or new mums out there, because I know it is such a hard time in your life and it can feel super overwhelming. A tip is that each stage is going to pass. If you're going through a really hard time, maybe your child isn't sleeping through the night, or you feel like you're up all night, or just you're in a bit of a difficult stage that feels never ending, it will pass and you'll look back and it'll be like a distant memory. Yeah. And one day in the not too distant future, you will feel like you again. I know right now you probably just feel like you're just a mum, or you're just like a milk making machine, or you're just there to care for that person, which you are in that stage of your life. It is very overwhelming and all consuming, but in the not too distant future, you will get you back and you'll feel like you again. So just enjoy all of the moments that you can with your little one, because they do grow up so fast. I know that's such a cliche, but it goes so fast, and before you know it, life will resume to some kind of normality. Yeah. And you'll feel like you again.
So true. I love that. And then Kate, for anyone who wants to reach out, say hi, get in touch, where can they find you?
The best place to probably find me is over on my Instagram. So it's at Kate Bobo, B-O-W-B-O-W, which is a throwback from Dolly Bobo, which I never changed. But yeah, come and say hi to me over there.
Oh, thanks, Kate. And as always, everybody, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe if you've enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you. Do leave us a little comment. And you can find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Kate, you've been fantastic. Thank you so much for catching up with us today. And we'll be hopefully speaking to you again very soon.
Thanks for having me, girls. Bye.
For listening to this episode of Mother Tongue, we hope you enjoyed it. As always, please feel free to rate, review, subscribe and leave a comment. We always love to hear from you. Your support really means the world to us. And if you know any mums or mums-to-be who'd be interested in listening to our podcast, please feel free to share. You can also find us on Instagram at We Are Mother Tongue. Until next time, mamas.